Hello, everybody, and welcome to the third week of A Cup of Nepenthe, a positivity podcast to keep you company during self-quarantine. Today, I am joined by, I think it might be her podcast debut, I'm not sure, but I am joined by my good friend Emily, aka A-Bros.
Yeah, that's where it comes from.
I feel like I do that so much more often now after you change your Twitter handle. I'm always like, hey.
It's because it was something I used to say a lot, especially when I was back home, you know, with my American buddies, and then it just kind of resurged, and now it's just become a thing, a big thing I do.
Yeah. So, Emily, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourselves, not to put you on the spot or anything?
Oh, shit. Well, yes, my name is Emily, aka A-Bros, and I do commission illustration, mostly D&D stuff at the moment, but I'm open to pretty much any sort of character. Like, I did fan art for somebody, and I was looking into getting charms, like to do like the charm business, and then, you know, it was kind happened. Of like, yeah, this sort of, you know, this conundrum has happened, so it's like, oh well, I've put it on the back burner for now, because I follow a lot of other artists, and I'm kind of trying to keep trend with them, and sort of like, oh, if they're not getting any stock in, then I'm probably not going to be able to get any either. And I was going to try and get to a con this year. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was going to try and get to a con maybe this year or next year as well, but that's not going to happen either.
I feel like the more days that pass, the less likely we are to even get to a con as visitors. Like, I'm not super hopeful for Amicon.
No, and I think a lot of people, I saw somebody had made a point that was like, even if the coronavirus thing, kind of tones down, and some of the conventions still go on, how willing are people even going to want to go? Like, how many people have, what is it, agoraphobia after this now? You know, like, are you really going to want to go to a convention this year, right after all of this stuff stops, if it does? It's kind of like, yeah, maybe this year is just like a write-off for all of that.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that they cancel, though, because then we'll probably get a full refund on membership.
I hope so.
Rather than the £5 that they take off.
Yeah, and then, I could get my Switch.
Yes! Yes! But one thing that I did want to say was that Emily here is responsible for the picture for this podcast.
Yes.
A picture of my cleric, tiefling, lady, Nepenthe. You were the one who originally sort of designed her, I guess, because I just went, she's an albino tiefling, she's got long hair with lots of plaits in, and then
That's what happens. I get into D&D games with people, and then they tell me about their characters, and then I'm like, I must draw them.
I must see them.
I'm also responsible for, if you guys watch Ebby's streams, I'm also responsible for the emotes and sub badges.
Hell yeah. I want to, not to like sell or anything, but just for myself, I want to get like little enamel pin badges of those emotes. Just because I like them so much. Put them in my eater bag, put them on my coat, I don't know.
Get some stickers, stick them on your face.
Hell yeah. One day, when things can be produced.
Yeah, I was looking at enamel pin stuff as well before all of this. Like, I was looking at the acrylic charms, and I was looking at enamel pins. And then I think I was maybe looking at stickers as well. I just want to make sure that I can get shiny stuff on it, because that's my thing.
Can it be holographic?
Yeah, exactly. Can it be holographic?
If yes, I will buy.
Exactly. Like the company Zap Creatives, they've introduced holographic charms, and I'm like, yes, straight in.
That's the one.
Yeah.
But for anyone curious, I will link Emily's Twitter in the YouTube description, which also reminds me, this podcast is now on every good podcasting service, so if you prefer to listen through iTunes, I think it's on there. It'll be in the permadeath feed, because people were asking about it, so now it's there. I don't know how the descriptions work for those, but you can find her on Twitter at A-Bros, which is E... Y-Y-Y-Triple-E-E-Triple-Y-Bros,
and it's all lowercase.
Yeah, you can find her on Twitter. Go and support her. Commission her, because she's great, and I love her.
Thanks. And I'm also saving, and I'm saving up for a tablet, because I can't, we have a laptop and a desktop, and the laptop can't really handle Clip Studio Paint, and the desktop has to be hauled into the other room during the work week if I want to draw. So I'm currently saving up for a tablet, so any little bit helps.
Yes.
Yay.
Yay. So we start off these podcasts with a little bit of a wellness check. So how have you been doing through the lockdown so far?
Been doing all right, actually. I mean, this will come up later on as we talk about it, but there have been times where I've been feeling a little bit bored, but for the most part, I think the thing that's been throwing me off the most is just sleep schedule. It's kind of, we're trying to keep it, you know, normal, but it's just kind of like, oh, now we're up until 2, oh, you know, kind of swerves. But I've actually been feeling pretty all right, all things considered. Like, I don't feel worse for wear, but I guess it's not like I can be like super peppy and hype or anything, but been doing pretty good. And I've been speaking to my family a little bit as well, so I know that they're all doing all right as well.
It's one of those I feel like it's a weird time because everyone's like, now I'll be in more regular contact with my family. I know that you were pretty much in regular contact with most of your family anyway.
My mother and my sister, yeah. I usually talk to them the most. Usually my mom would just be like every other weekend. Of course, she calls right when we're about to play D&D usually. And then and then my sister, I usually just chat with her randomly through the week. But she's the one I've been having the most trouble contacting lately, just because she works in a hospital and she's been helping another hospital. So she's been pulling a lot of hours, but I've been hearing a little bit more from her, and it sounds like her workload is going to be going down a bit as well. So she won't be exhausted. Yeah.
What the hell is that? There are people outside. Go home. Stay inside.
Go back inside. What are you doing?
Jeez. You need to stop screaming.
It's not very socially distant of you.
No, that's one of the things that I've noticed around here, actually, is that people are starting to go back to normal. We're not out of lockdown yet, but apparently there's been... I've not been out, but we have, like, a local support group on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And people have been posting pictures of people just hanging out in town for no reason, and getting too close to each other in supermarkets for no reason. And it's just a little bit frustrating, not gonna lie. But I'm also not out in it, so
yeah,
I guess that's a positive.
Yeah, I've been because around here everyone's been pretty, you know, good about keeping to the rules. But I look at my home state and I see some of the stuff going on there, and I go, why can't you just?
I did hear about the protests that happened there.
Yeah, in Lower Michigan. Yeah, my mom has informed me that people had driven down from Upper Michigan to Lower Michigan to protest, and I told her, I said, well, they should stay down there if they're going into a contamination area. They shouldn't be allowed back up, because the upper half of Michigan does not have the infrastructure to handle mass quarantine. Well, not mass quarantine, mass outbreak.
Yeah.
Is the correct word.
It's just, people are starting to go back to normal when we shouldn't be quite yet. I think we're getting closer. I still don't think we're going to be out of quarantine until at least June.
No, I mean, wasn't it extended until the end of May or something like that?
I think it was extended until about mid-May, but I don't know. I haven't been keeping up with the news because it depresses me. So,
I mean, I get most of my news through Twitter, and I'm just treating it as sort of like, I'm just going to keep up with quarantine rules until, you know, the world seems more normal.
Yeah. It's, weird situation.
Because
you get so used to, like, not seeing people outside when you're looking out your window, and then all of a sudden there's, like, crowds of people for some reason, and I'm not quite sure why. Because I noticed that there was a window cleaner out the other day, there was a gardener out the other day.
I mean, surprisingly, we, right before quarantine, like, hit, like, the big lockdowns hit, we had problems with our sink and our dishwasher, and a couple weeks, like, 3 or so weeks into quarantine, plumbers showed up to fix the sink. We were, like, shocked that it happened. I mean, it was only a leak, but it was one of those things where it was, like, if it was left alone, it would have just done damage, and we did what we could to make sure nothing happened with it. But no, they sent somebody in, and then earlier this week, more plumbers showed up with a new dishwasher and installed it, and I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting that until after quarantine, or until the rules were at least lightened up. And
yeah, that's a little bit strange. I kind of get why they would want to fix a leak, but
yeah,
like a dishwasher probably could have waited.
Yeah, it wasn't super imperative, but like, there is that part of us that's like, sweet, we have a dishwasher, now we can just stuff yeah. everything in the dishwasher.
Well, I'm glad you got your dishwasher. I feel like I relate quite well to the sleeping schedule thing. Because this week has just been super exhausting, because I'm not sleeping when normal people sleep anymore. Like, the other day I stayed up until 5 a.m. just because I was like, well,
it's not like I got anywhere to be.
I don't got anywhere to be. I want to see what's going on in Animal Crossing tomorrow, and the day resets at 5. So, guess I'll just stay up until 5 and see what's going on.
That's like, Cam has been playing the original Final Fantasy VII, and we were up late the other night too, and he was just like, well, I mean, I'll just deal with it, I guess. I just work from home, so whatever.
It's one of those things, I need to get back into a normal sleeping schedule, because there's going to be a time where I'm going to need to be awake in the morning.
Yeah.
Not right now, but also at the same time, I feel like I'm losing out on a big portion of the day, because there's like stuff I want to do. I want to bake banana bread and dye my hair and, I don't know, live a normal life. I have been neglecting that a little bit, and I would kind of like to stop.
No, I understand. I mean, like, it's so weird to think, because I've been getting up at, like, it doesn't even sound that late, but I've been getting up at, like, 9 a.m. when I used to get up at, like, half 7 or before half 7, and like Cam, when he used to have to travel to work, would have to be up at 5:30 to get out of the house, and now,
jeez.
Yeah, so it's just like, now we've got all this extra time to sleep in, but it's like, we're doing our best, because it's like, trying to stay to it, but of course, sometimes when you play a video game, you just have to keep playing until you hit a good point to stop.
Yeah, I'm a little bit worried about playing Octopath Traveler tomorrow, because I feel like there's never going to be a good stopping point for that game, but we'll see.
Just have to put like a hard stop and be like, okay, I want to keep going, but I have to stop.
Yeah, like, I have to put a time limit on it, because I'm going to have to edit this podcast and get it rendered and stuff tomorrow, so yeah. I'll be good. But with that being said, we can move on to the main topic of this particular podcast, which is the word creativity. So you seemed like a good person to get on when it came to talking about creativity, with you being an artist. So one of the things that keeps me sane when I'm in the house is writing. Mm-hmm. I imagine art is much the same for you.
Yes, definitely.
But it can be hard to stay creative when you're in the same situation over and over again, I guess.
It's hard to be creative when all you're doing is moving from one room to another every day.
Look at this inspiration I'm getting from this hallway.
I look out the window and I see the sun, and it makes me feel so inspired.
So I wanted to talk about how to stay creative. I don't know if I just said that. I feel like I just had a moment where I forgot what literally just happened. How to stay creative when you are inside where you get your inspiration from, if prompts and stuff help, I guess. So, Emily, how do you stay creative in a situation like this? Hold on.
The
sirens are coming. Who is it?
We were at Tesco and Cam, because they've got arrows on the floor for the directions, and Cam went up the arrows, and one of the Tesco people yelled at him, and then we heard the sirens, and I was like, they're coming to arrest you because you went backwards on the arrows.
Oh god, such a weird world to be shouted at for going the wrong way.
Yeah.
In a Tesco.
Yeah, a Tesco of all places. But just going back to what you were saying, it's definitely been a challenge because I've already been, I was already a little bit stuck with creativity anyways beforehand, but that was separate from everything going on now. And you mentioned things like prompts and stuff, and that's definitely been helping because even just aside from all of the quarantine stuff and all the scary stuff, one of the things that I find helps me keep creative is following other people who do the same thing that I do or doing what I would like to do. Like when I mentioned the charms and stuff like that, like I follow artists who are already doing that to try and kind of get ideas of what they're doing, but also just like I see that and I'm like, oh, that's so great, you know, I can't wait until I do that as well. And I mean, some of these artists even post up their own inspirations, like where they are, like artists that they follow or just like images that they really find moving, or just here's this picture I took in Animal Crossing that just made me feel really inspired, you know. People have been using those for like aesthetic things. So I find, yeah, so the biggest help has just been tailoring my online experience to those who are doing what I want to do, but also are like, I really enjoy their work at the same time. I don't see them as rivals. It's more like, oh, I look up to you, and I think that's super great. There's been a lot more prompts going around, and I think it is one of those things where everyone else is feeling the creative troubles as well, where they don't know what to do. So it's like, well, we're going to create all these different memes that are sort of just like, draw fan art, draw my character in different outfits, and draw your character in different lighting, or do it in these different styles. And that actually goes on to it. Another thing I would suggest too is just maybe doing something you wouldn't normally do. And that's something that I struggle with as well with my own art, is like kind of going outside of what I might draw or wouldn't draw, you know, kind of like, oh, I don't feel comfortable with that. It's like, well, maybe no one has to see it. I can just do it. But you should show it off yourself. Anyways. Yeah, exactly.
I did notice that there were a lot of, I feel like there's just been a bit of a boom in terms of art Twitter recently.
Yeah.
Not like I follow tons and tons of artists like you do, but the ones that I follow are like out of work, need money, so a lot of them have like opened commissions, or they've started like getting stuff ready for like an online shop. Mm-hmm. And I see these people who I love their artwork. They are like, okay, we managed to get a restock in of these stickers, and I'm like, I would love to buy one of your stickers, but why is shipping so expensive for a sticker? I'm not paying £11 for a sticker.
That's been one of the difficult things with the whole merchandising, is getting the stock in and then shipping it out and then having to deal with the mail problems that are happening as well.
Yeah, I've noticed that not only with like receiving packages, but also I've gotten so many messages on eBay, where I do a lot of reselling, of people being like, my package hasn't arrived, and I don't, there's nothing I can do about it apart from say, maybe wait, because post is slow right now.
Yeah, and I mean, there's some artists that I follow, and they've had to cut, a number of them have to cut out international shipping completely, just because they're like, we can't afford it, and the And I know some post office won't even do the international shipping anymore. Like, they just aren't handling it. So it's like, oh, I guess I can only send it to the US people, or, you know. And it's annoying because it's like, oh, I want to, there's stuff that I would like. I'd love to support you, but I can't because post office bullshit.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you've probably seen them before, but there's an artist who does, like, D&D classes, but as bears.
That sounds adorable.
I'll have to link you to her. But she has a cleric sticker, and the cleric is a panda.
And I was like, it's fitting.
I need it. I need it, but I really can't afford the shipping on this. Ugh. but then another artist that I follow who does a lot of Fire Emblem monochromatic art,
mm-hmm.
was like, okay, well, I had a bunch of stock set aside for cons that are no longer happening, so they're on my store now, so I bought a couple of prints from her. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like it's important to try and support these people as much as possible, because they aren't going to cons anymore, and they're out of, like, regular work because all of these places are closed, and...
Yeah, and for some of these artists, like, the conventions literally are their work. Like, their whole job is going to the conventions to sell, and now that all these conventions are closing, they've got all this stock, and it's like, well, shit, I need to sell it because that's my livelihood. And yeah, there's definitely been, like, a growth of, like, everyone needs to make, you know, everyone needs to take commissions and stuff. But there's also been this growing fear as well for some artists that the pressure to be creative and the pressure to get it done, because there's that whole mentality of, oh, well, we're in quarantine, so it's not like you're doing anything else, so you can just make art. And it's like, well, that's not fair, because we're stressing just as much as you are. It's not something you can just switch on and off.
I feel like that, by that standard, everyone should be doing something creative to make money when they are now out of work. So I feel like it's unfair to be like, well, you're an artist now. Well, you were an artist before, so now that you don't have anything else to do, why don't you draw 24 hours a day and do nothing else?
Yeah, like, I have a part-time job, but of course I'm not at that part-time job because it's in retail. And there's that fear where the people who've been commissioning me have been super understanding, but there is that fear of me that's like, am I going to get somebody who's going to be like, well, you're not in your day job or anything, so you just have plenty of time, so why aren't you working on this? Like, there's that fear of like, oh, well, I'm not in work, so I should be drawing and, you know, pushing for commissions and shit all the time, like even more, just like nonstop. But then that just burns me out and stresses me out as well. And then I feel like I don't want to annoy people.
A creative outlet, like art, writing, baking, cross stitch, whatever it is that you do, like, you can't force yourself to do it without making yourself hate it.
Yeah. And there is like a level of push you have to give yourself sometimes, because there is that fine line between, you know, taking care of your mental health and then being a little bit lazy, which is a problem that I have, but it's not even so much lazy, it's that I procrastinate out of fear and anxiety. So there is that, you have to look at yourself and go like, okay, do I actually need this time, or am I just kind of, should I try and push myself a little bit to try and get out of that? Because sometimes when you fall into the slump of like not wanting to create at all, or wanting to create but no energy, sometimes you have to be like, right, put on my pants and just sit down and just do something, because sometimes just sitting down and getting started is the biggest hurdle.
Yeah. I can feel that. When it comes to writing, anyway. Mm-hmm. And basically everything that I do, I just need to, like, start and then I can continue for a while.
Yeah. I'm the same with cleaning. Like, I'm like, oh, I don't want to start cleaning. But then as soon as I start cleaning, I just, like, it just rolls on.
Yeah, you're just like, well, I've started, so I guess I'll carry on.
Yeah.
Which is something I really need to get around to. I think I'm going to take a day off streaming next week where I can just be like, okay, sort out your recycling, because it's a problem now.
Yeah. Like, I should take a picture of it, but it's funny the amount of pizza boxes we have stacked.
Oh my god.
Well, and I mean, part of it is like Cam eats a gluten-free pizza and I eat like a regular pizza, so there's twice as many boxes because we're buying a pizza for each of us. So it's almost reached the counter and it's like, oh my, we should probably get rid of those.
Please take a picture and show me.
Okay, I'll take a picture.
Yeah, so with writing, I think it's kind of similar. One of the best, this is gonna sound real strange, one of the best things that I've found for inspiration, I guess,
mm-hmm.
is Archive of Our Own, which is
AO3,
a fanfic website, essentially. Apparently you have to apply for an account if you want to post stuff. I don't know how that works, but...
It's really easy to get one, because I got one. You just apply, and they just go, okay. Unless it's changed since I've done it, but they're pretty straightforward about it.
There is just something, first of all, nostalgic and nice about reading fanfiction.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the level, like, okay. I think every 13-year-old girl who is about my age now was at some point into fanfiction.
Oh,
yeah, whether definitely. It was on like Quizilla or
fanfiction.net,
those were the big two, I think. I don't know how Quizilla ended up becoming a fanfiction website, but it happened.
I remember reading fanfictions on there. It's kind of a weird experience because it's like, yeah, you get options to go through the quiz, but they don't really matter because you're just reading a story anyway.
Oh god, I wrote fanfiction on there when I was a kid. I dread to think what it was actually like, but you'd give like options, like it was a visual novel or something. I don't know,
like a visual,
maybe that's where my love of visual novels started, was Quizilla.
Yeah, that makes sense. I suppose it's kind of like a visual novel, except the dialogue options don't actually necessarily have an impact,
and literally no writer on there could ever be bothered to make it so that you had a different ending when you finished the quiz, so they'd just be like, thanks for reading my fanfic, new chapter tomorrow.
And you're just like, sweet, okay.
But the level of fanfiction now compared to what it was when it was Quizilla is like so different, because no one could spell back then, because everyone was like 13.
Everyone's just like, I want to get my ideas out, and I want to ship with my favorite boyfriend from this video game, or whatever.
my particular one was Kai from Beyblade.
Beyblade.
He was everything to me when I was 13. But you just used to get these, like, fan fiction. I don't want to, like, rag on anyone for being 13 and creative. Like, it's cool, even if it's not good, it's cool that you're doing it. But it was, all of it was trash. All of it was, like, super cliche. You'd have, like, a rival girl character that was, like, blonde and pretty and peppy, and, like, everyone hated her, you know?
The Mary Sue character, yeah.
Yeah, and then... I feel like every main character in fanfiction back then was she's this punky alternative girl who's like hates her parents, and
she's not like the other girls.
No, she's exactly. A lot
more, she's willing to do what it takes.
it was true though. So I read fanfiction now, after that tangent, I read fanfiction now and I'm like, this is legitimately so good. Like, this could be published. It's so good.
Yeah, I was actually, I've seen people, because I've seen people who are like, yeah, the amount of people on AO3 who could write like novels and stuff, and it's like actually better than published stuff is shocking. Like, I sometimes go on there and I like I'll read something and I'm like, man, this is just so good. This is so good compared to what I used to read.
It's absurd how good some of the writers on there are, and a lot of them do like prompt, I guess.
Yes, yeah.
So they'll be like, oh, someone sent me this prompt, so I decided to write a fanfiction between Edelgard and Byleth with this prompt. Or they'll have like ship weeks where they'll write specific fanfictions between two characters, one every day for a week. And there is just something in me that wants to get involved in that so badly.
The amount of, like, creative juices flowing to be able to be like, take this little idea and just, like, flesh it out into this, like, fully written thing. And some of them even have multiple chapters. It's like, oh my god. Like, there was one, like, I'll admit it, like, I sometimes look at my poison of choice, I guess, is Final Fantasy 14. So, like, I went on there, and I won't say anything because you're going to be playing the game at some point, and it's a major spoiler, but it was basically like, well, what if this happened instead? And it was like, I think it was like 13 chapters, and it had two alternate endings. Like, you could pick one ending that you wanted. And I was just like, man, that was so good. It, like, felt like it could have been part of the game, but it was very shippy at the same time. That. Yeah.
You gotta have a good ship in there, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, a lot of my personal choosing is Fire Emblem.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically Three Houses right now, because Byleth is such a nothing character that, you know, she's very malleable.
Yeah,
to
it's very
however you want her to be.
It's the ability to get to self insert into there.
Yeah, she's a really perfect self insert, yeah. Or he, you know, no judgment.
On your choice, yeah.
So I've been reading a lot of, like, what happened after she got married to Claude, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Domestic life, activate.
Yeah, and, like, some of these things that people are coming up with are just insane, and probably, in a lot of ways, go into a lot more detail than the game ever did, so they'll, like, make up an entire fucking language for Claude's home country, and it's like, what?
Well, that's like, it's like the people who make, like, they'll take, like, a background character in a game, and they, like, they'll, like, write all these stories about them and, like, flesh this character out, and it's like, wow, I don't even know who this character was before I discovered all these fan fictions. Like, they've just expanded on this character to a point where it's like, yeah, I believe all of this is real. I believe this is all canon.
Yeah, I really hope, now that you've mentioned that, though, that someone has written Gatekeeper fan fiction from Three Houses.
You know, you could probably find it. And if you and if you can't find it, maybe that's where you need to start. Maybe someone's...
That'll be my niche.
Yeah. Someone's just waiting for it. They're like, they're not confident enough. And it's like, now is my time to shine.
Let's go. Gatekeeper fanfiction. Because I think, like, ultimately, at the end of the day, my goal in life is to have something published.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love writing. I've loved writing since I was way into Beyblade fanfiction, even though it wasn't good then. But my problem that I'm having at the minute is the thing that you literally just said about just starting something.
Because
I'll sit down at the computer and I'll be like, right, before I start writing, I need to find some ambient music that's gonna keep me sane while I tap away at my keyboard, and then it will lead into me just watching true crime videos instead.
Yeah, well, and I just thought of this because it's a thing that I've seen floating around for helping people who are creatively writing, and it's that when you have an idea in your mind of a scene, like, you just write down what's going on in your head, but if you don't know how to transition it, just, like, put in brackets, like, and then they get to there, and then you just keep going, so you just only write, like, the specific points that you've already got in your mind, but don't try and clean it up, just, like, get it out of your head onto paper, and don't try to, like, mesh it into maybe whatever you've already got, just be like, and then they get to there, and then come back to it later, and then you can take the moment to, like, expand it from there.
That's a legitimately really good idea.
Yeah.
Because the amount of times that I start writing something, and then I don't know how they go from here to here, and I just stop writing it is absurd. I just I'm not good. It's something I need to practice at, but it's not something I'm good at the minute, is transitioning from one scene to another, which is something I really need to improve on. But it makes it so that I have idea A, I need to get to idea C, but there's that B point in between that I'm not writing, so I'm not getting to
point C. Because you sort of take the burden of trying to figure that bit out and just put it aside until you're like, okay, I've got the two ends, A and C, and then now I can take some time to try and marry them together instead of just trying to force it in the moment. Because then
that's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. See, there you go. There's a creative tip for you.
I'm learning. This is why I needed you to be on this podcast.
This is just, and I mean, that's just something that, like, I've come across, that's just advice I've come across on Tumblr, to be honest. Like, and it's funny because I do bits of writing, like, for, it sort of almost helps with my art. Like, a scene comes into my mind, and sometimes I'll write it out, and then I'll draw, like a still from it, I guess you would say. But yeah, I do have, like, a number of blurbs in my Google Drive where it's just, like, it's just a scene. Like, there's no build up to it. It sort of just ends as it ends. Like, that's it. And it's like, sometimes you just got to get the scene out and then work from there. Or even just have it as it is and just be like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah. I fully agree with just getting things out of your head, and maybe don't clean it up until much later when you go back to it and you're like, oh, I like this idea, but we can, excuse me, go home. We can make it better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I find personally useful is ambient music or ambient sound.
Yes.
There's nothing, I think I actually have like a phobia. I think I might need to go and get it diagnosed. I have a phobia of silence. I fucking hate being in the quiet. Like, I just am not a fan. Something about it freaks me out because then I start thinking too much. So ambient sound, ambient music, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very helpful for me personally. I used to visit rainymood.com a lot, which is just rain sounds.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. I also enjoy finding like fantasy-esque music in one tab, and then in another tab having tavern background noise, so just like voices and then a fire sound or something, like all layered together.
There's a website I have to try and locate, but I know that there's a website that exists that has like sliders for stuff like it's all built into one website, and it's like rain, cafe noises, fire noises, and you basically move the sliders and it just turns the volumes, so you can kind of create your own ambience, I guess you would put it.
But that sounds amazing.
Yeah, I'll have to try and locate it. It's been a while since I've seen it, but yeah, I agree with you. Like, it's a bit funny because I have it where I'm either listening to music, or I have the thing where if I am drawing something specific, like something inspired by a song, I will listen to that song incessantly on loop while I'm working on the piece. And I don't know what it is. I think it's just because if I'm drawing the specific thing and that's inspired by that song, the song is kind of giving me the mood, the drive to keep going. But like, I like listening to music whether it has lyrics or not. But I know someone like Cam, for instance, when he's doing D&D prep, he won't listen to music if it's got lyrics, or if it is, it's like in Japanese, because he's like, if I'm hearing the lyrics, then I'm not really doing, I can't really do the work. So it's like,
yeah, I get that. I kind of feel that lyrics that I know specifically are very distracting.
Mm-hmm.
Because instead of writing, I'll just start singing along. That's not I'm not very good at, like, doing both. I can't write and also sing along to a song that I know, I guess. Yeah. So I understand where he's coming from with that. But it's also a shame because it means that because I love music as well, but it means I have to pick between listening to something that I really want to listen to or doing this hobby that I like.
Yeah.
It's not like I can do the two at the same time, which is a little bit sad, but you know, it's fine.
It's one of those things where sometimes it's a bit give and take. Like, sometimes when I'm drawing, I reach a point where I realize that I'm drawing and there's no music, and I get like freaked out just because I get so focused on what I'm doing that I'm like, oh, when did the music end? Oh God, this feels really weird. Which is why when I'm at least when I was doing, when I'm streaming, how, as rare as that is when I'm streaming, I always like to put on the lo-fi, because even though there's like words that sometimes come in, it's very much just like quiet. It's got a bit of a beat. It's the background noise. Just a little bit of something to help, like you said, just to not make, not have it silent, because then you get alone in your own thoughts. And
yeah, it's, silence is a really weird one. Just because when I don't have sound on, whether I'm writing, whether I'm trying to get to sleep, whatever it is, I just spiral into this like thought, like, oh my god, one day I'm gonna die, and then then I'll just be like anxious about everything. So that's where my that's why I think it's a phobia, because I don't know.
I get like that. I get like that when it comes to going to bed. And it's interesting to think, because when I was younger, I didn't really listen to white noise or anything going to sleep, but it could be because I was just used to being in a small town and it was quiet at night. And when I think about it, there was some like ambient outside noise, like, you know, like crickets or like an owl and stuff like that. But nowadays I'm like, Alexa, put on the ambient noise like right away, because I find that it's when I'm laying in bed that my brain starts bringing up all the things that I don't want to think about. So it's like,
yeah,
no,
I've got, it's just this like really morbid thoughts and stuff.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, no, I've got the sound of the ocean. I'm just going to think about the ocean. And then just suddenly I'm asleep and it's all good.
Yeah. I think I need to switch from like YouTube videos to more ambient noise. I tried ASMR for a little bit. I found this like one... This is a total tangent and I apologize, but I found this one ASMR lady who, I think she's from New Zealand. I don't know her name off the top of my head. And she would do like manga book club ASMR, and she'd like run this like acrylic nail that she's got down the spines of all these books. And I'm like, that is such a nice sound and I don't understand.
Oh, yeah, but, yeah.
The problem with ASMR is that I don't like to sleep with headphones in, and I definitely feel like to get the full effect, you need to have headphones. So I think one of my goals in general for the year is just to, like, transition from, videos about true crime to more ambient noise, because that's been my latest thing, is true crime videos.
Do you ever
which
watch,
is not good for the anxiety.
Do you ever watch Forensic Files? Ever heard of Forensic Files?
No, I don't think so.
It's probably because it's an American-based show, but it's one of my favorite ones. And I mean, Forensic Files' this whole thing is like, they talk about the science of like how they figured it out, but their whole thing is like, this plastic spoon, this cigarette butt, and a well-timed light are all it took to capture the murderer for this crime. And then
American,
it goes into the science behind it, yeah.
American, like, crime drama, not even drama, like, documentaries, is so dramatic in just as a genre.
It's
good. Just so dramatic to the point that it's actually kind of funny. Because the ones in the UK are very sort of, here are the facts, spoken to you in this posh accent, what will we talk to you about? Whatever it is. And there's just something a little bit more morbid about that than the American, like,
it's
dramatic music and clips of interviews that don't make sense until you've seen the whole thing.
Yeah, because it's very much like, because I've seen a couple of true crime stuff here, and it's very much just like, and then they found the body in the backyard, and then it's, and the, whereas in America it's like, and it wasn't until they were digging the pit and then they found the skull. It's just like, ooh.
It's so true, though.
They really ham it up. But that's why I really like and watching it, because it is so silly, but it's just like, oh, it's really interesting, but also it's really absurd that they're so focused on this one little thing that, like, and they're, like, really hyping it up.
Yeah. I need to watch more American stuff rather than British stuff.
Well, Forensic Files is on YouTube, so you can definitely watch it there.
Perfect. Because I think I also need to listen to crimes that do not take place in the UK.
Have them outside. Have them in the US.
Yeah, another country where it's not my problem.
Exactly.
But anyway, creativity.
Yeah.
There was something I was going to say about...
I was going to say this as a joke, but one thing that does help with creativity is timing yourself and being honest with yourself about things like video games and internet, because...
Oh, no!
Well, I'm guilty for this, too, and I guess it's probably one of the good reasons... It's good that I don't have a Switch, because I'm not as drawn to playing it, I guess, is the thing. It's like, well, yeah. I don't have that distraction. And it's one of those things where you have to be like, okay, no, if I put this near me, I am going to do it, so I'm going to put it far away from me. Or one thing that I've been trying to do more of that Cam very much pushes is like doing like lists, where it's like, okay, I'm gonna do these couple of tasks, and if I can at least do those, I feel like I've done something with my day, and then I don't feel as guilty playing video games afterwards.
Yeah.
It's like, I've at least done these two things. Like, it doesn't even have to be a big list. Like, for me, it's always like, I'm gonna do a couple of commission things. I'm gonna post something on Twitter or something like that. And it's like, if I've at least done that, then I don't feel like I've wasted my whole day. And especially with, like, if you sleep in, like, you've been having trouble waking up early, it's like, well, if I at least get this done, then it doesn't feel like my whole day has been wasted on sleep. I feel like I've gotten up and at least done something.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good thing to do in general.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Especially when you want to take a creative pastime seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Like both of us do.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, I think I've been a bit better about it recently, to be completely fair to myself, because I don't play an absurd amount of video games outside of streaming. Yeah. Aside from, some days I'll just be like, oh, just treat yourself and play Animal Crossing all day. And I need to do that less if I want to work on more productive, creative things, because although, in a way, Animal Crossing is a little bit creative because you get to design your own island and whatever,
mm-hmm.
there is, like, an element of creativity in that, but it's not the same as working towards a goal that I've had since I was, like, a teenager.
It's one of those things where it's, like, the goal of completing your island and doing it and designing it, that's great, but it's one of those things where it's like, the game is recent and it's probably not going anywhere anytime soon. So there's not as much pressure to get that one done as, like you were saying, say trying to get yourself published. Like, it's like, okay, the video game will always be there because I own it now. It's like nobody can come and take it away from you.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I need to just be a little bit more strict on myself when it comes to those days of, you know, I have a bunch of free time because I don't have anywhere to be. I can't go anywhere, so I feel bad. Let's just play Animal Crossing all day. That was what I actually wanted to say, though. Completely, I remembered. Completely not on this subject.
Yeah.
One of the ways that I've found that I've been able to get a bit of creativity out is through Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
Which is strange, because I don't necessarily think that it's a super creative hobby unless you are DMing. But there is just something about, you know, rolling a new character that I find, and like building their backstory and getting to play them, I find that to be a little bit of a creative outlet for me. Because last week we started a new infrequent campaign, I'll say. It was supposed to just be the one time, but we're playing it again tonight. Where I played a Bloodhunter half-elf called Theo. It's my first male character that I've played. And you played a Opal.
Who is an Asimar Ranger.
Yeah. Love a Ranger, love an Asimar.
Yeah.
It's all good. All good stuff in that game. But there was just something, like, really nice about going, oh, I have to create a character. I've had this character in my mind for a while, so I get to play as him now. And that, to me, felt... I don't know if this makes sense, but it felt like a little bit of an outlet in terms of, you know, putting a character out there.
Yeah.
And playing someone a little bit different to me, because he's very charismatic, whereas I am not.
I mean, some might argue that, but no, I would agree that D&D has definitely been a big help, because, I mean, at least with me and Cam, we come from more online role-playing backgrounds, so, but that was a lot of it was just, like, writing and writing with other people, whereas, like, now, when we play D&D, we have, it's very much over voice, so there's the vocal aspect to it, but, it seems like some of my creative juices have, because we've been doing it so long, like just role playing and coming up with characters and doing all that sort of stuff, I feel like it helps with what I draw. Like I actually had a lull for a while of having difficulty knowing what I wanted to draw or just drawing anything, and I feel like now that we've really gone into D&D and we've got all these, you know, different games or campaigns or whatever, or even like you were saying, even just character creation, it's like, oh my god, I can just do this, and then it helps me, and then I draw this character, and I'm like, that just came out of my brain suddenly, because I just felt this random urge to be like, well, what if I made a cleric, or what if I made this kind of person, and then I can, and then I draw them, and it's like, yeah, now that exists, and I mean, D&D was kind of, I guess, a little bit of the field that started getting me more commissions in as I opened them, because people were asking me to draw their characters for them. That kind of helps, that kind of bounces off and inspires me to be like, oh, that character's kind of cool. That seems like a fun concept. You know, oh, I like these little design elements. I might remember these as sort of like inspiration going forward.
I feel like there can't be a crazy amount of D&D commission artists out there, because it seems neat. I guess it's not as niche as it used to be.
Yeah.
Because of things like Critical Role, I guess. But I just don't feel like there's going to be a ton of people that are, like, willing to... Like, you drew, what was it, a half Dragonborn, half Orc, or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, they were half Dragonborn, half Orc, yeah. Definitely a bit of a homebrew mix race, but it was... Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Sorry, go on with your thought, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I don't think there was much more to that thought, like... I just... In a way, I wish I could draw, because I have, like, all these character ideas in my head. But then at the same time, I play basically all of my D&D games with you. And then if you ever feel like drawing them, I'll just be like, oh, this is kind of what I think they look like in my head, and then you'll come up with something that's, like, 10 times better than what I actually have in my head. Like, no. Nepenthe was a very basic description. It was like, albino tiefling, long hair, horn danglies, and that was basically it. And then you, like, sent me this picture of Nepenthe for the first time, and I'm like, that looks so much better than I imagined. She's just, like, so much cuter than I actually imagined her being. It kind of made me play Nepenthe a little bit more... a little bit differently, I guess.
You felt maybe you felt a little bit more invested because of my creativity to make this drawing kind of inspired you to put more effort into it, maybe?
Yeah, exactly, because when we first, like, rolled up those characters, it was supposed to be a one-shot that's still going on, like, a year and a half later.
Yeah.
Probably more than that now, actually. Because we did the Death House thing. And I thought after that, well, I'm never going to get to play Nepenthe again, so it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter how I play her. I can be as inconsistent as I want to be, because it literally doesn't matter. But I'm learning through D&D as well how to make a consistent character, and how to not do things that I would do in a game, but do things that the character would do.
And in a way that... that can extend beyond just D&D. Like, if you want to publish your own writings, that easily translates from D&D into sort of your own creative outlets, because you can be like, oh, well, this is what I picked up in D&D. I can apply that over here as well. And maybe exactly. No one will ever know it was D&D.
If I ever publish anything, it was totally not inspired by D&D.
Just throwing that out there.
But it also made me love a new genre, in a way, because I used to like fantasy films, so I'd be, like, a fan of Lord of the Rings, mm-hmm. or whatever. But I could not stomach the books. For some reason, every time I picked up a fantasy book, I was like, this is just not that good. Like, I tried reading Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
I could not get into those books, and I don't know if it's the way that they were written or just like the way that the story was being told, but I just was not into it. I haven't been back to try them again. I still don't think I would like them that much.
Yeah,
but I was just like, I guess fantasy is just like not for me. But then we started playing D&D, which is definitely more of a fantasy, has more of a fantasy vibe to it.
Yeah.
And around my birthday, I was like, I really want to read The Witcher. So I picked up a couple of those books, and I loved them. And I think part of that was because I had, in a way, I could see similarities. I don't want to say similarities. It, like, connected more to something that I liked, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is D&D.
In a way, you sort of had a basis to that you could bounce it off of.
Yeah.
Instead of just jumping in.
And I think I had more of an image in my mind of what was actually happening when it's, like, describing Geralt fighting the Striga or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. I had more of an idea in my head of what it would look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, because D&D is not a visual thing, but I suddenly I'm like, fucking fantasy's fucking great. I'm in there. Let's
do this.
Let's do it. Like, I'm gonna finish reading The Witcher, and then I'll probably be asking on Twitter for more fantasy recommendations that are a little bit more out there, I guess. But
and I suppose just to be a bit easier on yourself as well, I always hear that the Lord of the Rings books are really hard to read. Like, I tried to read the Silmarillion, which apparently is even worse, is even harder to read than Lord of the Rings. And I got maybe a couple chapters, and I was like, I have no idea what is happening at all. I can't even do it.
The amount of times I've bought either The Hobbit, The Silmarillion, or The Lord of the Rings from charity shops and tried to read them is astounding, because I must have somewhere in this house, like, maybe 7 copies of each book. And I just, the books don't interest me the same way the films do. That being said, I have not watched those films in a long time, and I bet they have aged pretty badly.
But I'd be curious to watch all of them after all this time, because the last time I watched them was like a marathon of like all of the extended director's cut versions, like in a row.
You have to watch the extended versions.
Yeah.
There's no excuse to not watch the extended versions of Lord of the Rings.
The extended versions are the only versions.
Exactly. Every film is 4 hours long and has 2 DVDs. this is a huge tangent, but it's just like, I'm just sort of remembering things that make me feel a little bit more creative, like D&D and like reading The Witcher and getting into a new genre.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been talking for a while, so I should probably move on to the rest of the podcast, but maybe we could do a creativity part 2 if people are into that idea.
Talk more about like what we do specifically or whatever, or if anyone's even curious about that.
Maybe we could go away for a few weeks, come back, and see if we were creative in the time.
That's the challenge. How
That's the challenge.
Did we stick to our creative inspirations, and did we stick to our advice?
I'm going to guess I will stick to some of it for a bit, and then I'll play Animal Crossing. That's going to be my guess.
If AmiAmi definitely is like on the road to canceling and we get our money back, that's probably it's probably going to become one of those things where Cab is going to be like, I'm keeping the Switch in the office during the day while I work so that you don't play Animal Crossing. And I'd be like, shit.
I'd be like, no, let me play. I'll sit in the office with you and distract you unless you let me play.
I'll hang out in your Zoom calls with you and play Animal Crossing.
So if you are listening and you have any creative hobbies, because I know we definitely have some people who listen to this podcast who have very different, interesting hobbies. Like, I think I don't want to actually shout them out in case I'm wrong, but I think someone is very into blacksmithing.
Ooh, that's
smithing.
Cool.
I've seen some of the stuff that they've done on Twitter, and it's impressive from someone who knows nothing about it. So I hope that means something.
That's super cool, though.
Shout outs if you are listening. I'm sure you know who you are.
It's a very specific sort of hobby.
Yeah, and it's a cool hobby. Like, you know what I... Another tangent, but you know what I really want to go to one day is Renaissance Fair. Yeah,
yeah, I've always wanted to go to Ren Fair as well.
But we don't have them here. No, garbage.
We'd have to go all the way to the... Yeah, you know, thinking about it, it's a bit weird that England doesn't have Ren Fair.
I feel like we have something similar to a Ren Fair, but it's not the same as, like, the American
crazy
Ren Fair that
I
see,
I'd like to,
you know, on
Fair.
Twitter or whatever. I'd love to go to one day.
Maybe when everything is all relatively back to normal, we can all fly to America and go to Ren Fair.
Hell yeah, because their fair is going to be dirt cheap.
Hell yeah.
But we'll move on to song recommendations for the week, and I have a couple different things to talk to you about. So the first song recommendation I have for this week is Should Have Known Better by Sufjan Stevens. Sufjan Stevens, I don't know how to say his name. It's F, no, it's not F, it's S-U-F-J-A-N Stevens. So I picked Should Have Known Better because it's just, it's a very indie song. Like, could have been in Life is Strange kind of indie.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, funnily enough, kind of how I found this artist. He did a song called Death with Dignity that was used in The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit. And ooh. I loved the song. I found this album called Carrion Lowell. And I think it's one of the best albums I've heard in recent years. I think it's just such a good album. Though I will warn you that it's not particularly uplifting, because this whole album in general, sorry, is about him grieving for his mother who passed away. But I find a lot of the songs to be very calming and just kind of nice to listen to. So link in the description for that one.
Sometimes you it's all right sometimes to have a little bit of a cathartic feeling from time to time.
We were talking about this last week because I realized that when I was coming up with these song recommendations after the first initial Scatman recommendation, I'm still a massive emo at heart. Like, give me My Chemical Romance, let me listen to The Used, and I'll be perfectly happy.
Hell yeah.
But we came to the conclusion that sometimes it's okay to just have songs that are cathartic and kind of relate to how you feel, even if it's not the most uplifting thing. But if you feel a little bit somber, but I don't know, hopeful, I guess, there's just a lot in this album that I think could help you. But Should Have Known Better is the song that I picked, because I like it a lot, essentially. On a totally different note, we have... I decided to pick a Medina Lake song because they are my favourite band. And have been for a very, very long time. But I wanted to kind of tell a story with this one about human connection, I guess. Let me take a drink before I do that, though. The song I picked by Medina Lake is Now or Never, from, I believe, their first album. I don't remember off the top of my head, apparently. What kind of fan am I?
Very tired.
So I picked
fan.
A very, very tired fan who has not been to a concert in 5 years, apparently. But I picked Now or Never because I have this very, very good memory attached to it, and it just reminds me that people are good sometimes, I guess. So I went to one of their concerts when they were doing a tour that I think was called the Arlene Ball.
Ooh.
They had, like, really cool names for all of their tours, and I don't quite know why, but I always appreciated it.
So you can remember the specific one.
Yeah, I can remember the Arlene Ball tour, because I went to, I think, 2 or 3 dates in that tour.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, Medina Lake, for some reason, had this really dedicated fan base who would go to as many shows as they could. I think I went to 15 in total before they broke up.
Damn, that's intense.
But I knew people that had been to see them, like, 60 times. They'd followed them across America on Warped Tour, and, like...
Oh, man, that's really hardcore. But that's, like...
yeah,
that seems like
for some reason.
It'd be so they... much fun.
Yeah, they just, like, cultivated this, like, insanely dedicated fan base, and I was kind of a part of it, to a degree. Never went to America to see them or anything, but liked them enough to see them 15 times, which is...
which is still pretty good.
Now that I'm looking back at it, I'm like, wow, that's actually kind of impressive. But, yeah, now or never. I went to one of their shows after I had broken up with a boyfriend, and they had this song called One Last Kiss, and they played this song, and obviously I'm, like, heartbroken about this song. I'm sobbing in the front row. I'm like, oh my god, I can't deal with this. It's just too much. And the lead singer saw me crying, which, a little bit embarrassing, not gonna lie, but at the time I was just, like, upset. I didn't care. So, he noticed that I was crying. And then the song that they played after One Last Kiss was a song called Now or Never, which is the one I'm recommending. And usually in this song, Nathan, the singer, would, like, come along the front row and, like, give everyone high fives and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got to me, he stopped. And through, like, the last, like... the second to last verse and the last chorus and whatever it was, he held my hand through the entire song and sang the song to
Aww,
me.
That's so good.
And I get a little bit emotional thinking about it. Ooh. And he did not have to do that on any level. Absolutely could have just ignored the fact that I was upset, but decided to do something about it. And every time I met particularly Nathan and Matthew, who were the twin brothers in the band, the singer and the bassist,
mm-hmm.
they were the kindest, nicest people I had ever met. And it kind of bums me out that Medina Lake never got to that, like, MCR level of popularity, because they were just such great people.
Yeah.
And I just was reminded of, like, how great people can be sometimes. And that song just, like, has a lot of good memories for me. So that's the reason that I'm recommending this song. It's got nothing to do with how good the song is. The song is great if you like old emo, punk, rock music. Pop punk, I guess. I don't know.
Go back to your scene phase.
Yeah. Get the fringe, get the, you know, the stripes, the... Yeah, man. What do you call it? The raccoon tail, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, the coon tails, yeah.
Go back to then. Go back to whenever this was, 2000 something.
Teasing your hair out so it was super big.
God, I used to backcomb my hair, and I look at pictures of myself in school, and I'm like, you were a twat. You're just such an idiot.
I know, I look at some of the old photos of me, and I'm like, oh, what was I thinking? Oh, no.
It's all right. I feel like every teenager goes through the cringe phase. It's just mine is still going on. It's fine.
Yeah.
And then, for the last 2 song recommendations, because there are 4 this week, I decided to recommend something a little bit different that was brought to my attention by Bill, of all people. Fancy that. Bill listening to music, because he was the song recommendation man for last week. But, if you are on the Permadeath channel, it might not be a secret that myself, Bill, and Kinross are all huge fans of the Yakuza series of games. And as it turns out, Kiryu's voice actor actually has a band.
Hey.
And he is the lead singer of that band, so if you've ever listened to Kiryu's karaoke songs and thought, man, I want more of that, these 2 song recommendations are for you. And I don't understand why, but neither of these videos seem to have an extremely high amount of views. I think their views on their YouTube channel average out at about 11,000 for some reason. And this is Kazuma Kiryu's voice actor, so I'm sure that some people are going to appreciate this, but the band is called Takuya Kuroda and Goodfellas.
And Goodfellas.
And Goodfellas. Takaya. I think I said Takuya. I meant to say Takaya.
I think you said Takaya, but could be wrong. Get those Persona 5 pronunciations going on.
I need Xander Mobus. But the two songs that I'm going to recommend this week are called Restart and The Scenery Will Never Change. That title has been translated from Japanese, so I don't actually know what the song title is called, but it's translated as The Scenery Will Never Change. Great songs, great band. If you like the Yakuza series of games, highly recommend checking these out. And enjoy yourself. And I think that's it for music recommendations. Three things to do at home for this week. So first things first, we were talking about creativity in this episode, so I thought it would be a good time to recommend, I don't know what it is, I guess an app for your computer called Pit Crew.
It's like a browser gaming site sort of thing, I guess would be the best way to put it.
Yeah, that's a better way of describing it rather than like an app for your for Google Chrome. It's a little character creator thing where you can go and design some characters of your own. I made basically every D&D character that has ever been in my head through this thing. And I was surprised at the options that they had, because they had horns if you want to do a tiefling. They had elf ears if you want to do an elf. So, you know.
Cover the bases. And the thing about the Pit Crew website as well is, like, the one that you were playing on is just but one of many, many that are on there. And if you're somebody who's like me and, like, does more, like, illustration... I have not tried it personally, but I know that it's apparently quite easy to make your own pit crews as well. So if you don't, like, you could always play on somebody else's to make characters, or maybe you could make your own and then see how other people think and, like, kind of sort of give back almost. So it's like bouncing back and forth, but it's just...
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. But I mean, Pit Crew is basically like a, I guess, like a doll maker website, I guess, but like...
Yeah.
But anyone can make their own templates.
It was just surprising to me how easy it was to make Nepenthe with her being an albino tiefling.
Yeah, she came out super cute.
Yeah, I don't know. The options that they have on the particular one that I'm linking to is particularly great for D&D characters, I think. But I have played around with a couple other ones, so... Mm-hmm. I don't know. Have a browse around and make some characters if you want to be a bit creative, even if you can't draw. Like myself. I thought that was a good recommendation. I was a little bit obsessed with it for a couple days, but
I mean,
I'm fine now.
I mean, it helped. I mean, that one specifically helped me with coming up with an idea for what, like, I mean, I sort of had an idea in my head already, but it helped me come up with an idea more solidified of what Opal looked like. Sometimes it's even just like that little bit of extra that helps you come up with those ideas and solidify them.
A little bit extra inspiration.
Exactly.
But the other thing is that if you are a little bit more culinary inclined, I guess, IKEA, the furniture warehouse place, I don't know, everyone knows what IKEA is, I don't know why I'm trying to explain what it is, they have released... instructions on how to make IKEA meatballs at home. So if you miss IKEA meatballs, which I can't say that I do, but if you do, they have instructions on how to make their meatballs.
Well, maybe because you don't eat meat, maybe for you, you could take the recipe and try and make it soy. Try and, like, make
I was thinking... I have corn mince, and I have dried vegetarian mince in the cupboard, so maybe.
Yeah, because when we were practicing bread recipes, that was the thing that I had to do, is I had to basically take a bread recipe and go, okay, how can I apply the gluten-free into it, but also keep it sort of like bread with gluten?
It's, I feel like bread might be a bit harder than a soy replacement for meatballs.
Yeah.
It's very impressive that you managed to make anything edible, in my opinion, because I think bread is super difficult to make.
Well, the fact that I made that, it took some effort and some, like, brain power, but the fact that I was able to make a loaf of bread that was edible and almost like actual bread was shocking. I mean, when Pancake Day came around, I managed to make fluffy American-style gluten-free pancakes, I was just like, oh my god, I'm so proud of myself. I'm so cool, look at me, making gluten-free.
I'm proud of you too, and I'm sure Cam is very grateful.
He is, yeah. But this is why the banana bread recipe is easier, because you can just replace it.
Yeah, I'm going to make banana bread after we're done here. I'm going to make banana bread, put it in the oven, and then I'm going to dye my hair. It's going to be an intense couple hours before D&D. But...
Oh, man, that multitasking, though. Yeah, I'm going to be cooking.
I'm going to do it.
I'm going to be cooking dinner after this, probably.
Well, what are you having?
We're having fish and polenta.
Oh.
Sorry, No pizza tomorrow.
Pizza tomorrow.
I thought we were going to have pizza tonight, and then I just remembered that's like, no, we're having the pizza tomorrow night. Well,
I'm
going to
have pizza tonight. Pizza party for me.
Yeah, pizza party!
Anyway, the last... I apologize about the lawnmower, if you can hear that. Dude's got to mow his garden. Anyway, the last thing for this episode of the podcast is... news that doesn't suck. So I found this story about a 17-year-old cashier who paid a $173 grocery bill for an elderly customer.
That's amazing.
Apparently he was $33 short of the $173 bill, and essentially she saw that all of the stuff that he had was essential. And instead of he was about to put some things back, she just paid for all of it. And I think that's just one of the nicest things that I've heard in quite a while.
Especially in these times when you're trying to be socially distant, but like there's, you know, it's nice to see those moments where it's like, even when shit's hit the fan, I guess, essentially. There are people that are still willing to go that extra step or, like, go the extra mile to help out somebody else.
Yeah. I don't think I would have done that at 17. I'm going to be honest.
I don't think I would have had that much money at 17.
No. Like, $173 is a lot of money, especially for a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
So... apparently her name is Elizabeth Taylor, so shout outs to her for being a better person than most of us would have been at 17. And just making a really nice story.
Well, let's hope that her story has inspired other people. Maybe not everyone can pay off a $173 bill, but maybe if it will inspire somebody to just do something nice, you know, just do a little bit extra.
Yeah. I kind of wish there was more that I could do in times like this, but it doesn't mean that even though I can't do anything right now, it doesn't mean that the niceness has to end when this is all over, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Be good, I guess. Moral of the story, be good.
Try to leave the world a little bit better than it has been.
Critical Role moment.
Sorry. it was just a perfect opportunity.
It's a good thing to think. Just leave the world a little bit better than when you found it.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I think that's it for this episode. So thank you so much for joining me, Emily.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. It was.
Was I correct in saying that it was your podcast debut?
I believe so. Yes.
Heck yeah.
So. I can't think of any other times I've been on a podcast, so this
were
is
you
the
on
first.
Occo?
I think I was on a couple episodes of Occo. So since then, no, I've not been on anything.
I was reminded that Occo was a thing a couple weeks ago. I completely forgot.
Oh,
stay safe, everybody. Stay sane. Stay healthy. Do not drink or inject bleach. And we'll see you next week.
Bye. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.